Why is even well-evidenced science the subject of such a wide range of attitudes? I'm Dr. Lynn Pascarella, president of the American Association of Colleges and Universities. And today on the Academic Minute, Lawrence Hurst, professor of evolutionary genetics at the University of Bath, explores the differences between those who trust in science and those who do not.
During the pandemic, we found that a third of UK people reported increased trust in science, while 7% said their trust had gone down. Why such a variety of responses? Early research into attitudes to science assumed that people who get science also know more science. This deficit model informed much science communication. Just tell people the facts. This, however, appears not to work. Teach people facts and attitudes tend not to shift. Why not? Research now focuses less on what people know and more on trust. Indeed, those reporting increased trust during the pandemic tended to be trusting before, and those reporting decreased trusting were untrusting beforehand. Research over the last 5 years has revealed some common differences between people who report not accepting consensus science and those who do. Repeated studies find that the non-trusters believe themselves to be more scientifically expert than objectively they are. They commonly assume that many more share their viewpoint than actually do, and when questioning the science, they tend to impugn the messenger, not the message. These results, in turn, have stimulated different strategies to aid dialogue. First, the messenger needs to establish trustworthy credentials. Being knowledgeable and relatable helps. A second is to clarify what the consensus scientific position is, or, if there is no consensus, to clarify what is known, what's unknown, and what's been done to find out. A third is to anticipate alternative takes. Such pre-bunking is more effective than debunking, as misinformation once released is hard to contain. A fourth strategy is inoculation, training people to recognise misleading argumentation. For example, warning people about dialogue in which the messenger rather than the message is questioned equips people to be better filters. None of this, however, solves the more systemic problem, this being the incentivization and the ease of the spread of misinformation.
That was Lawrence Hurst of the University of Bath. You can find this, other segments, and more information about the professors at academicminute.org.
Production support for the Academic Minute comes from AAC and U, Advancing Liberal Learning and Research for the Public Good.